Welcome back, everybody, to Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Platt Show. People, it has been an entire week of professional wrestling, good and bad. The last ride was last night to go along with the last dance, and both last ride and dance served my palate very well, people. But first, the particulars, guys. I am your host, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's because, frankly, Mike Michael Jeffrey Jordan, I am hardcore. Also, people, joining me over here to my left, my friend, now yours, from thechairshot.com. Hashtag, use your head. What's going on, Chris?
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings and salutations, Michael. I'm back another week out here looking like a human chia pet, but, you know, shout out to the quarantine, apparently.
Okay, well, the quarantine has got you screwed up somehow because, damn it, we're here, and we're here live, and that's all that matters. But again, guys, make sure you check out this podcast and all your favorite podcasts. You can see right there, we're everywhere. So show us your chew. And also, hey, Chris, I see you. Good morning, brother. How you doing?
Hey.
How you doing, man? Listen. A lot to discuss today on today's show. Becky is having a baby. Did you see Seth's face? Also, AEW Double or Nothing is this weekend. Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet still? I'm not testing that. Also, NXT, Ring of Honor, you name it, wrestling was this week. Chris, what we going to start off with? I know already it's going to be Monday Night Raw, but we left last week saying we were excited for Monday Night Raw. We got what we thought we would get, at least for me, with Becky having a baby, Chris.
Becky's got a baby. They're saying Becky got a baby, but Becky barely got a brain. I'm just kidding. I couldn't help myself.
But does Seth really know the name? I'm just saying. Ooh, cheap. Just saying. Seth, you know what? I'm just joking, Seth. Congratulations.
It's actually hilarious, though, because his reaction to the baby, everybody was crowding around Becky. Yes, and yes. Congratulations to both Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins, first and foremost. Absolutely. That's a beautiful thing. But his reaction, it was like, it wasn't, hey, we're having a baby. It was, oh, shit, the condom broke. That was the whole vibe that Seth had.
I think that set the tone for Raw, though, last week. Shout out again to Dice Man as I'm watching Raw. And it's like, yo, look at Seth's face. He just looks like completely, like, shocked and, like out of his mind, like, whoa, I'm going to have a baby. My first thought when she came out and said, you know, she was, you go off and be a warrior, I'm going to go off and be a mother. I was like, yo, the WWE must really be mad at Seth Rollins right now because Becky Lynch was their cash cow at the moment. So I wonder how that went over in the back. But again, congratulations. Your thoughts, though, on Becky? We might not see her for 2 years, if ever again at all.
It's interesting timing considering that she was at the top of the card, you know, male or female, man. Yes, she was right there at the top of the card. Yes, so the timing is very interesting because, I mean, how long? I mean, Cena is obviously the exception, but how long do those top runs really last in WWE? So to cut that short while you're at the top still, interesting timing. Again, she is 33 years old. Maybe, you know, that biological clock started ticking. I don't know. And it's not my place to tell a woman, when or when not you can have a baby. I do find the timing interesting, though. And I have to bring that up. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, Stone Cold was probably the hottest act ever in wrestling.
Right.
But that only lasted, from 98 until 01?
Yeah.
And he missed like a year's worth of time within that time frame. So you don't get these opportunities that come along every day. So, but again, they obviously, I don't think this was a situation where, oh shit, the condom broke. I think that this was a calculated decision on both of their ends.
Really?
And this is what they decided to do. You think differently.
Well, I just look at people who have sex, right? I mean, this is the show for the intelligent wrestling fan. And I do believe in hashtag wrestling is storyline, but I don't see a storyline in this. I'm just saying, we know already that there's going to be a bunch of COVID babies out there. And now we know we're going to get a COVID baby from Seth and Becky. So, I mean, this is what happens when they have nothing to do. You're in the house all day. Hey, I'm just being honest, what's going on in my house? I do spell it with three X's. You do the math yourself. So, I mean, planned or not planned, they're having a baby. Becky's having a baby. And now, moving forward, Asuka's your new women's champion, Chris.
Well, I do have to mention that, yes, Seth and Becky are going to have a little Canelo Alvarez, you know, Mexican with red hair, but that's neither here nor there. The you know, on the other side of this is opportunity. Asuka is now the champion, so we can put to bed all those rumors and all that BS that people were talking about how they were burying Asuka. Yeah, yeah. Like Prince said, everybody can't be on top. Right. So, but I mean, they've done well by her. But that being said, there is a spot that has opened up, and there is an opportunity for some of the other women on the roster to perhaps step up and claim that spot.
Well, the spot is there to be claimed. Who will step up? I say this much, though, and going back on what you're talking about with Asuka and them saying she was buried, I do think she was forgotten. I think, unfortunately, it wasn't due to her lack of talent, okay? And fans sometimes have to, we don't always understand what they do. It's not, to my opinion, for us to understand what they do. We either like what they show us or we don't like what they show us. I think too much goes into, oh, they're burying this person or they're burying that person and this person. It's just circumstance. Like Becky having a baby. It's just circumstance. Okay? It just happens. And that happening, moving forward, I tell you what I think's going to happen. Okay? And we haven't got completely into the review. Okay, but just to go ahead and jump ship, if you will, a little bit, the return of the Iconics, okay, came back. And they're going tonight for the women's title, tag team titles, Chris. And that to me tells me every time a tag team goes and comes back and they immediately get a tag team title match, they typically win. And I'm thinking, is this maybe now, I know you don't see her as a world champion material, but she is the Raw Women's Champion. Who else are you going to put in there with Asuka? I think this goes to Alexa Bliss, Chris.
You might be right, Mike, because for whatever reason, they seem to be hesitant on pulling the trigger with the Queen of Spades, Shayna Baszler. So you might be right. That might be a slot for Alexa to slide in. It's a ready-made storyline. They lost the belts to Alexa and Nikki. So who knows? I don't know. I'd like to see Nikki Cross in that spot, though, because I think her and Asuka would have better matches. I remember their last woman standing match that they had on NXT. And that was one of my favorite matches of that entire year. So I would like to see Nikki slide in that spot and maybe Alexa kind of be her cheerleader. You know what I mean? Right. Pumping her up and getting her together. But who knows?
Maybe I'm wrong. And the name you just mentioned that I didn't mention because her being, you know, I forget she's on that roster. Maybe this will be for Shayna Baszler. Also, I actually agree with that. I hope that it does become Shayna Baszler. I'm just looking at what they tend to do sometimes. Again, not trying to book, like I just told you guys, not the books. Let's see what they give us. So, hey, you're right. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this. I'm just curious about, you know, you put Alexa back in that spot. Like you said, her and Nikki Cross have future. It's a lot of ways you can go with this one as well, Chris. What else happened on Raw?
Well, number one, we've got to talk about the man who had the worst week ever last week. Mr. Booyaka Booyaka 619, Rey Mysterio. Not only did he get killed.
Okay.
Not only did he get killed by King Corbin, but then Seth put his eye out on a Christmas Story side of the game. Like Rey had a very terrible week. But I thought that was interesting that they kind of transitioned Seth into obviously a program with Ray Ray, because we all thought that Seth and Big Seth were going to be feuding throughout this summer. But something else that happened on Raw was that Bobby Lashley, it's been happening on Raw for the past couple of weeks, and I don't know how much we noticed it. They've low-key been heating up Bobby Lashley, and now it looks as if they're going to set him up with MVP. So I think we know who is going to be the next title contender for Drew McIntyre.
Do we really know that with Drew? Because with Corbin, King Corbin, that is, coming over to SmackDown tonight to take on Drew, okay? Why not put that? They roll the dice so much, it makes no sense, because I'm thinking we're going to get more from, as you call him, Seth and Big, Little Seth and Big Seth, okay, and Drew McIntyre. But to me, I need more from that. But you're right. Does that mean he goes into this program with Rey Mysterio? Is Rey Mysterio taking another leave of absence? Has Rey decided to have a conscience and say, you know, I'm not wrestling during COVID also right now? We don't exactly know. That's what's good about going into Raw tonight to see what's going on, Chris.
Yeah, that's true. But I think the King Corbin thing, it's a way to try to, they're going to blend the brands because they are working under extenuating circumstances and they need people. So Corbin's there. They can cross-pollinate brands, whatnot, which is what they're doing right now. And he's a heel that has heat, but he can absorb a loss and a clean loss. So it's not going to hurt anything. I don't know what it's going to do for the ratings. Frankly, I think the rating talk is overrated at this particular point in time. We got so much other shit going on, man. Like, ratings shouldn't be the end all be all at this particular point in time. But he's a heel that is over and that has legitimate heat, and it will be a good win because, you know, Corbin's a big dude, so they can go out there and beat the holy hell out of each other and have a good match, and it just more so establishes Drew as this badass champion, which, as I said on these airwaves, man, he's wearing that title very well. It sucks that he doesn't have a crowd to play off of, but he's acquitting himself very well to being a champion, so shout out to Big Seth.
Well, Big Seth, Little Seth, Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger, it doesn't matter. Twins they are. I need to see that, the program. That's what I need to see. That's what I want to see. I'm not sure what they're doing with it. Okay, it's what it is. We're moving on. What else happened on Raw that's noteworthy? Because personally, Big Iconic showed back up, and I'm the second time I'm going to mention it now. Because, I'm sorry, I just love the Iconics. Go ahead. I don't think the girls can wrestle that well, but like Mella is money. What they don't do. This is what I need people to understand about certain talent in WWE, especially in the women's division, even in all the divisions, to be honest. I'm not going to single out male versus female. There's guys that can just go in the ring that have no personality. And you guys can get mad all you want to. They're not using them right. Where's the personality? And there's girls and guys the same way that can't wrestle worth a... Well, not most guys can't wrestle. But a lot of the females, not that they can't go. They got everything else to go. They can be... As long as you can be safe in the ring. Okay? And that's the most important part. They can do their storytelling to overshadow the in-ring ability there, Chris.
Everybody's not going to be Luthez. It is what it is. My only issue with the Iconics is that they toned down the lesbian overtones of the gimmick from NXT to when they got moved up to the main roster. I'm a dude, man. I miss the lesbian overtones. Yeah. I do. What you want from me? Nothing. I'm sorry. What you want?
It was very, very eye-popping, shall we say. And tonight, speaking of eye-popping, I'm going to have all four women on the card. Okay, tonight and that match. Who do you think wins this match tonight a little bit? Iconics, did they take the titles from Bliss and Bliss? They've been together longer than I've ever thought they would be. And they've tried to pretty up Nikki Cross, you know, in the WWE, you know, try to lighten hers up a little bit. Do you see them retaining the women's tag team titles, or the Iconics picks them up?
Well, when you said eye-popping, I thought that was a segue into Ray, but that's neither here nor there. They have tried to glam Nikki Cross up a little bit. The best thing you could do, and no disrespect to her, she's married, I'm sure she's happy, absolutely, but don't put the camera straight on her face, because her face looks like you ever bought a pizza and then maybe you hit some curbs on the way back and half the cheese starts sliding off the pizza by the time you open it up and get back. That's kind of what Nikki Cross's face resembles to me, but that's neither here nor there. I actually, you know what, I'm going to go out on that limb and say that the Iconics do get the tag titles tonight on Raw. I'm going to say it.
That's not a limb. I've already said that. So therefore, ergo, I beat you to it, if you will, so to speak. All right. So we got, like we said, we got King Corbin showing up tonight to take on Big Seth and Big Drew Seth. And Drew McIntyre. Again, loving those side plates. Never wanted side plates until now. I think I will order those side plates from Drew McIntyre. What else happened on Raw that's noteworthy anyway?
So, real quick, the whole Zelina Vega faction, they seem to be having some internal issues. I don't know if that's going to lead to a blow-up and maybe a triple threat for the U.S. title or something like that at a pay-per-view. I don't know, but there is some dissension in those ranks. So, I think that's something that we need to keep our eye on, because Zelina Vega has been a revelation through this whole quarantine situation. Absolutely. So, that's something.
But I want to go back a little bit, if you will, and I apologize for that as well. And that's to not mention or give any credence to the faction that we see being built. You talked about the steam of Bobby Lashley being quietly built on Raw. They're separating him and Lana in a way, forming himself with MVP. We talked about that last week as well, maybe becoming the new mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley. Lio Rush wasn't able to fulfill that role in the way they needed him to, perhaps, despite how you and I and other fans might have felt. They give this to now MVP. Credible guy, respected guy, likable guy, will kick your ass guy in MVP, and then boom, there go Bobby Lashley. I can see this really working for these two guys. I can see this helping MVP's career along, you know, more. He's always been gold on the microphone. And then to add Bobby Lashley with him, and maybe, and I know, guys, it's still out there for us. You guys, some of you guys still won't take her, and some of you guys still won't take her and Sting, right? I get it, but I don't want it. But what I do want, though, is a reform somehow of the Nation of Domination. Okay, we didn't get it with the New Day. We thought we were going to get it with the New Day. We didn't get that the New Day. What we got from the Day, we love, but some of us still cringe at the things that they do. Nothing against those guys. Respect them for what they do. They're getting a job, and they're enjoying their job. But we still have this craving for something similar to a Nation of Domination. And if you're going to give me the reforming of the Disciple Apocalypse, or whatever the hell their names were back in the War Games or Game Warfare days of the WWE, you're going to give me repackaged the Sons of the Lost Sons of Anarchy, then I can have a new formation somehow, some way of the Nation of Domination there, Chris.
Well, they still got Apollo Crews floating out there somewhere, some way. So perhaps
hurt,
he gets
not hurt, right?
Hurt, but not hurt. So maybe he gets lumped into this faction. And I'm here for that. I could smoke a bag of that. You know, I've been on these airways for years talking about how Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, yo, if you do that correctly, that's your WrestleMania main event. You can main event Mania with that. And it doesn't take that long, or it's not that hard to heat up Bobby Lashley. We've seen them do this for years. They did it with Big Show. They did it with Mark Henry.
Pose for him, we'll talk Bobby. About later on. Pose for him, Bobby. I'm sorry, you're the man. No one looks like you, Bobby. I'm sorry. I love that Leo Rush. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about Leo Rush later in the show also.
But yeah, they can do that. Like, it's not hard to heat him up, and you give him a mouthpiece with MVP, a guy that has always been great on the mic. Shout out to MVP, by the way. He tried to get him a girl at Wale Mania at Orlando, but I wasn't mad. I was flattered. Anywho, that's a story for another day.
But
I thought so. Yeah, I was complimented. Yeah. Shout out to that. But yeah, I'm here for that, for a new nation. I thought that maybe they were hesitant because at the time that the New Day was forming, there was a lot of let's just say unrest in the country, and maybe they were hesitant or nervous of what the optics would be to do something like that nowadays. I think that's also a little bit of the reason why we haven't gotten Brock and Lashley yet. I think they're a little nervous about the optics of that. You know what I mean? Because that could go.
All. But we know where we go. We know that. I like to say this. All right. And I know as wrestling fans and as black wrestling fans, I feel do have a legitimate gripe at certain things that they do. I think the Latino audience does. I think the Asian audience does. We have a legitimate gripe. Okay. However, when it comes to wrestling, and if you're putting Bobby and Brock together, I know how you could mess with it the way they did with Triple H and Booker T, but you don't have to. And we would still respect those two guys for being those two big behemoths, that size, move that well, service versus, you know, I just think you could still do that without it having to touch black or white, in my opinion, Chris.
I agree. I totally agree with you. Like, that's two big behemoths clashing, as you just said. But the Lana, Lashley, Rusev, Cuckold, Black.com angle. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. We know what it was.
Yeah.
They put Lexington Steel with Riley Steel.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to generate heat, which it did. But, you know.
Did it.
Maybe a lot of people told on themselves during that angle. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
A lot of people told on themselves. And you know who you are. That's one point now. I'm pointing right at you. You know who you are. You told on yourself. Don't be mad.
Since my name is spelled with three X's, he ain't talking about me. What? since we did, go ahead real fast and let's go through SmackDown if you can, so to speak, and the SmackDown review. I know that we had the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship Tournament. Listen, cheap pop, but it's not the best new podcast out. Belt Kings Radio presents Champions Episode 3 debuts tomorrow on all your social media. And we're talking about the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. Yeah, can you dig it? So then SmackDown had the Intercontinental Tournament because I'm sorry. That guy right there. Sami Zayn. They're having an injury angle, but we know it's a COVID thing. not participating. They stripped the title from him. And now we have this tournament to come up. Chris, go ahead. I'm just sorry. I didn't even like the fact this tournament was coming because he stripped of the title. And I thought everything he was doing with this belt was gold. And what I don't understand is that the semantics of what happens backstage behind the curtain. And I don't try to. I know everybody wants to dig and dab. But I've always said this about Dirt Sheets. I'm not saying that everything that Dirt Sheets come out with is trash. But damn it, sometimes whatever shit you throw to the wall may stick and some shit ain't gonna stick, okay? And that's how I feel about Dirt Sheets. So I don't know what's going on with this situation, why he's not there. But what I don't understand is that you had him win this belt in a pandemic. So how you strip him of this belt now in a pandemic? And I don't like that, but the tournament's here. That's what's happening on SmackDown, Chris. What else?
I mean, yeah, you could make the argument that perhaps they're punishing him. But, I mean, to be fair, all the other titles are present and accounted for on all the other shows. So maybe that's just where they wanted to go with this. So leading off the tournament here for the vacant Intercontinental title, plus I think they just like an opportunity to be able to use the word abeyance. Because they brought that back out on Friday Night SmackDown as well, that word. I think they just like using that word. Okay. But we had Drew Gulak versus Daniel Bryan, which was a very good television match. Obviously, Daniel Bryan ended up getting the win. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, sorry.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, was I not enthusiastic enough?
Not even close. WrestleMania, baby. Don't forget, it is arguably one of the biggest movements in WWE history. That's all I'm going to say.
So you wanted me to do the When Harry Met Sally, huh?
No, you didn't have to. That's okay.
Did you stupid? Yes.
No, I'm good.
Yes.
Not like her.
Yes. Please, oh, yes.
Please do not do it like she did, okay? Please. All right. What else, man?
So SmackDown started off with Miz TV with the Mr. Money in the Bank Otis, and Miz and Morrison just completely shat on Otis for the whole entire segment, which, okay. And it set up a tag match later on in that evening where he actually enlisted the Universal Champion's help, Mr. Braun Strowman, in dispatching of Miz and Morrison. Then at the end, we had Miss Mandy Rose come out and try to create a distraction to where Otis maybe kind of sort of could have cashed in. Obviously, Braun caught it, and that didn't happen.
But can we just stop and have a moment of silence for Mandy in them shorts? Thank you.
You can. I'm,
if you watch SmackDown, good Lord Almighty.
You can.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. Amber. What else, baby?
So we also had Elias versus King Corbin in the Intercontinental Tournament as well, which shocked you.
The fact that Elias won, I guess, with how they love Corbin, how it seems that, and I'm okay with Corbin not winning. Don't get me wrong. This is, as a Corbin guy, he doesn't need to win. It's just when they do things like they do, I was shocked that Elias won. That's all. Like, Elias was at one point the hottest thing in the company. I'm going to be real. Like, let me rephrase that, because that's probably a grossly misjudged statement. One of the most up-and-coming biggest stars they had, that they completely... What he did at WrestleMania in New Orleans, in that streets of New Orleans, and then to follow that back up with him having that live performance at WrestleMania in New York again... How do you not capitalize on that? What did this guy do? Y'all not like he wrestles? Like, what's going on? I just never got that. So, yeah, Elias maybe should have been had a push like this, but I've seen Elias push before, and it mean absolutely nothing.
Well, I think it's more along the lines of what I was saying about Corbin going over to Raw. He's a heel that is Teflon. You could beat him, and he's not going to lose any of his steam. What's going on with Elias? I have no idea. It's a lot of start and stop, a lot of herky-jerky. I really have no idea. Like, the man connects with the crowd. He's deceptively big when you don't realize how big he is until he gets in the ring with other big melon farmers. And you see, okay, this melon farmer got a little size to him, a little girth, you know what I mean? And he's comfortable in front of a crowd, and he connects with the crowd. So, yeah, I don't know what the deal is with Elias. Maybe he could be one of these dark horses in this tournament, and perhaps that restarts his push, or, you know, restarts his trajectory. I don't know.
Well, like you said, Elias took on Corbin. Daniel Bryan beat Drew Gulak. We'll talk about him in a second. This coming Friday, we'll get Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy. I got to think Jeff Hardy wins this belt. I got to think Jeff Hardy maybe even wins this tournament with that push that they gave us for the 4 weeks. If not, again, I'm going to go back to what I said before. Why should I care about Jeff Hardy if you're not going to care enough about Jeff Hardy? If Jeff Hardy's not going to care about Jeff Hardy himself, okay? Jeff screwed Jeff. So Jeff owes the fans, in my opinion, okay? And then we got AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. That should be such a fantastic matchup, but it's SmackDown. But, you know, I can't even knock that because one of the best matches I've seen all week on all the wrestling programs was Drew Gulak versus Daniel Bryan this past week. That match, you know, you spoke about it a little bit, was phenomenal. And because the biggest news to come out of that after that fact was the fact that Drew Gulak was released from his contract because technically his contract ran out. And, of course, again, the dirt sheets ran with it saying that he was fired. You know, and no, he wasn't fired. His contract ran out. So, we don't know what's that's going to happen. Hope he's back. If he's not, hey, you know, it's a mutual parting ways of the partnership from the company. But SmackDown, before we get, we don't get no grades out right now. Y'all all know that. You have AEW coming up. So, what happened with AEW this week?
Well, before we get to AEW, okay, just real quick, Mike, just no worries. Just doubling back on the Drew Gulak situation to try to add a little bit of context. According to the Wrestling Observer, and again, you know, take it for what it is, it was a scenario where Drew Gulak's contract ran out after SmackDown. They were negotiating, meaning Drew Gulak in WWE. Drew wanted a raise. WWE decided to future endeavor him. So that story is still developing. I don't think that we've seen the last of Drew Gulak on WWE TV. I think they're in the midst of a negotiation. His agent that I, after some research, I found out was Barry Bloom, who is wrestling agent to the stars. And okay, he tends to have kind of a adversarial relationship with wrestling management. So think about it like this. If you know who Drew Rosenhaus is sports.
He's the Drew Rosenhaus of the WWE agency listening there. Yes. And I'm sorry to blind tag you there. The way that fans are so quick to just shit on the company sometimes, I'm like, yo, get your facts straight before you go out there and say things that are not true. That's all, Chris.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, let's just see how everything plays out. We don't know as much as we think we know. We know more than we did know, but we don't know what we think we know. And you're a damn fool if you don't think that these companies sometimes leak things to these quote-unquote dirt sheets to create a certain narrative. Like, you're a fool if you don't think that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what
we It's think all the work. It's wrestling.
Yeah. Who do you think these anonymous sources are? but we did have
Richard and Eric Bischoff and Jim Ross and all these guys that are shitting on the dirt sheets on their podcast. Those are who the anonymous sources are. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. AEW Dynamite took place because people got a little mad last week. We didn't talk about Dynamite as much as we did, and I apologize for that. That sometimes me, I'm the moderator, so to speak, of this program. So if I go unforgotten, or if he doesn't remind me about it, then he just goes on without it. And I apologize for that. AEW, I personally didn't talk about AEW as much last week because there was no bubbly bunch, and there was a bubbly bunch again last week. Okay, so I'm getting a little upset. They were the best things about the show. And yes, the show has picked up a hell of a lot, Chris.
Thank you, by the way. You were going to take the bullet, and then you suddenly had to throw me under the bus as well. So it's like we just got caught, and Mike is like, all right, Chris, come on out. They got us. That's what just happened right there. Come on out, Chris. They got us.
There you go.
So AEW started off with a pretty good pull apart, a pretty good promo by Jake the Snake, and a pretty good pull apart with Lance Archer and Cody Rhodes leading into their match this Saturday at AEW Double or Nothing Part 2 Electric Boogaloo. I enjoyed this segment. I've heard a lot of, you know, I've heard some negatives about this segment. A lot of people think it ran too long. And yeah, okay, maybe it did. But they're still trying to figure out this TV thing. And they got 2 hours to fill. So I thought it was cool. This has been a hot segment. And I feel like this week was more so dedicated to getting over the matches that you're going to see this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we've got the go-home show coming up. That's what this was about, building towards Double or Nothing. And I think they did a really good job of that. So moving right along here, one thing that I do want to bring up, which Mike talked about, he rolled his eyes when I brought it up. But if we can get a moment of silence, if we can get a moment of silence for Mandy Rose's shorts, we can also get a moment of silence for the death of the one, the only Vanguard One. I'm just saying this. Yeah. This thing had a run in TNA. He had a run in WWE. And it had a nice little run in AEW before it was brutally destroyed and murdered by that devious, demented inner circle. Demented.
The circle of inner. Okay.
The circle of inner. But they used it as the Bucks of Youth. The Bucks of Youth. But they used it as a really good setup to set up a match between the Inner Circle and the Elite inside the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium. I think they're calling it a stadium match as well. Okay. So they did a good job of setting up that match with that one angle, just taking, what was it, Rupert the Bat or whatever he called it. Whatever he called it, to Vanguard 1.
I just thought the show is getting better. I don't like to compare. But in this pandemic wrestling era that we're in, because we've got to be called, it's the pandemic era. It's been going on for 3 months. Probably will continue for another 2 months, okay, to be completely honest, if not longer. So we're in the pandemic era of professional wrestling. And I'm only saying this because I see the growth in AEW. I see the individualizing themselves from what we all know as the WWE. Stepping apart, being different, yet the same because it's wrestling, but being different in certain little nuances that they do, like with Vanguard 1, like with Brandy, like with the Jake the Snake segments. To me, they have just really been knocking wrestling out of the ballpark from a old school wrestling perspective. And to sit here and be this self-proclaimed, well, now I won't say self-proclaimed, y'all gave me that title, WWE guy, which still offends me, but I understand it, yet still the same. I have to give credit where credit is due, where people think I don't give enough credit to. And AEW right now to me is on fire. I won't say they're the best wrestling company during this pandemic era. I still think that belongs to NXT. But right next to NXT is what they have been doing with their television programming. I'm excited to see on a Double or Nothing 2 this coming weekend. Because what they have been doing, Chris, is bar none some of the best programming of this pandemic era I can say that I've seen. I have nothing to compare it to but what we're currently watching. This isn't like wrestling from years before. This isn't like, oh, TNA's copying WWE. WCW's copying, WWE's copying ECW. This isn't something you can compare. This is all them at the same time having to be completely, you know, unique in the circumstances of what their product is and showing us, boom, here we go. Here's our product. And right now, without a shadow of a doubt, AEW is kicking the WWE's ass in their television shows in this pandemic era and what old school wrestling fans call the wrestling we want to see, Chris.
Well, first off, sir, you mispronounced WEW shill, but I still love you. Don't worry about that.
Sometimes I talk so fast that I might have to slow down so you can catch up. That wasn't my fault. I said it correctly. You just didn't hear me, okay? It's like the red, blue blur, okay? We know him to be Superman Clark Kent. They just wanted to call him the red, blue blur, okay? Smallville shot. Hey, I'm a Smallville fan. Continue, baby. I'm just saying, AEW's kicking ass.
I was a Smallville fan too, so shout out for that reference. But no, I agree with you, man. I think that they have consistently put on the best pandemic show, and it just shows you how much atmosphere and audience matters. Just having a couple of faces and a couple of heels on each side cheering and booing and interacting, that makes all the difference in the world. My only issue with AEW, and I love what they're doing, they're presenting an alternative, but there is going to come a point that they're going to have an adult in the room. Now, what I say by that is the great thing about AEW is that they give the wrestlers a lot of freedom that they didn't necessarily get with WWE to kind of go off and do their own things.
Facts.
Some of it hits, some of it doesn't. But yeah, you know, sometimes with a creative, you need a bean counter there too to kind of pull them back a little bit. Yeah, you need a Hannah if you got a Barbera, right. if you picking up what I'm putting down. Like you need
got a Jack Kirby for a Stan Lee. For those who just forget about Jack Kirby all the time.
Exactly. You need that balance. And I don't know if Tony Khan, number one, Tony Khan, his wrestling background and expertise, he's on par with us. He just got the bread that he can go out there and buy some wrestlers and do his thing.
Hey, Dad, I want to run a wrestling organization.
Yeah.
Here you go, son.
Yeah, there you go. Now get out. Get the hell out. Get on now. Get out of here.
Forget Ricky Schroeder.
Nice. Shout out Silver Spoons.
Carlton.
But that's going to be the issue. Eventually, you're going to have an adult in the room and somebody that's going to be able to say, nah. Right. And I don't know if he's – I think he might be too friendly with the help to be in a position to be able to do that.
Maybe not. But here's the thing about it, though, is that I think as wrestling fans, we owe them this courtesy of ups and downs. This is why when it came out the bat from the beginning, I told people I didn't want to go ahead and argue or compare them, right? We have to give them time to be their own company. We have to allow them to fail and be successful. And when they fail, we cannot have WWE marks to just say, oh, that was trash. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because at the end of the day, I keep saying this because this is like my new do unto others as you had them do unto you. I'm so tired of the one-on-one arguments about my favorite versus your favorite. They put these things out for us all to be enjoyed. For us all to enjoy them, if you will, so to speak. And how can we all enjoy them if we're, for no but blind reason, see my eyes are closed because you're blind. Those who can't see, listen to all the podcasts. I'm closing my eyes because people are blind to what they like without giving something else a chance. And that ruins everything when everything that's being put out there is for us to enjoy. These companies, these manufacturers, okay, do not deserve for us to fight amongst each other over who's better and who's not. They don't pay us. If they paid us, we can argue that. But the majority of us held we don't get paid for it, Chris. And I'm just sick of it. I've been a victim of it myself in the past. No longer am I a victim to someone celebrating someone else's failures. You can debate it. You can say you don't like it, but to celebrate their failures. Oh, LeBron choked in the first NBA Finals against Mo. He can't be. Who are we? We can talk. Yeah, he didn't come up. He didn't come up big. But I remember people saying, I'm a victim of it too. Oh, this punk ass can't, man, he's soft. How do I know he's soft? Right? Fans got to sit back and let these companies grow. So let them fail.
That's the world we live in, though, Mike. You know that everything is polarizing. It's got to be right and left. It is. It's got to be Democrat or Republican, Pepsi or Coke, Blood or Crip, AEW or WWE. Like, you can enjoy more than one thing simultaneously, and you can also have critiques and criticisms of both things simultaneously. But you can also, what I choose to do, man, I focus on the things that I like. There is genuine critiques for both companies. There's genuine critiques for everybody. You're not going to agree with everything I say. I'm not going to agree with everything you say. But the bottom line is, man,
you drink Deuce. I'm sorry, he was rhyming. Go ahead.
No, that's cool, hey. But everything doesn't have to be polarizing. Everything doesn't have to be a goddamn battle all the goddamn time, man. You can enjoy more than one thing at once. And guess what, y'all? I know we live in a linear society, but you can have two correct answers simultaneously. It can't exist. At most time, it does. That's the weird thing, man. Like, the world itself is gray as fuck. Some of us are the heroes to some people. We're all the heroes in our own story. Some of us are heroes to some people. We're villains to other people. We done did people dirty. We done got dirt did to us. Like, this is just the circle. We operate. The world is gray AF, but we operate in a black and white space, and understand why we can't get anything done. We can't even get the government to hose down or spray some lights on the goddamn bench so we can go back outside. And we wonder why.
Listen, like the end of The Last Dance last night and Rodzilla leaving the playoffs to go show up on Monday Night Nitro. If they don't like what you say, suck it. I thought that was so great when he did that in the locker room, you know, yes. In the celebration, that Dennis Rodman was like, suck it. I was like, yeah, they were like, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to do a whole bunch of legal drugs. Okay? I was like, Rodzilla, you are the man, dog. But that's, to me, AEW, that's his fans. I'm loving it. And I had my, how can I say, reservations if how they would be. Because the expectations of our peers will ruin things for you. You know what I mean? So they're never just enjoying the products anymore. And I'm a fan of enjoying the products. And AEW got a goddamn good product going on right now. So what was your favorite part of AEW, honestly? Because I'm loving what's going on in the tag team. I'm sorry. Y'all know I'm a victim of loving tag team wrestling. It's just, to me, it's one of the purest forms of wrestling. To me, is tag team wrestling. I love it, and I'm a big fan of the Lucha Brothers. What else happened on AEW?
Well, my favorite part of the show, speaking of the tag team division, I think that's where you were leading me, was the match versus Best Friends, and what do they call them? The Jungle Brothers, or yeah. What do they call them?
Jurassic something, right?
Yeah, Luchasaurus and Luke Perry's son. Yeah. Jungle Boy, Jack Luke Perry. So
that's what I call him. Hey, Dillon Jr.
Right?
The reason why I wear Ray-Bans is because of Dillon McKay, so...
How cool was Dylan McKay? That was literally one of the coolest white boys ever on TV.
Dog. Knocking them all off. Cousins, sisters. He was my inspiration. Before there was a California Cations, okay, there was Dylan McKay, okay?
This dude was an 18-year-old high school student with his own beach house. Come on now. Come on now.
And a millionaire.
Come on, man. R.I.P. by the way. Yes. But that was my favorite part of the show. It wasn't even the match itself. It was all the hullabaloo and everything. Yeah. Everything that happened during the match. Number one, starting off with Rey Fénix kicking the holy hell out of Orange Cassidy in the side of his head. That was hilarious. And then you had MJF come out of nowhere and throw Jungle Boy Perry into the post, and that's what cost him the win. And then all of a sudden, Wardlow comes out of nowhere and pulls little Marco stun up, and he's beating the holy hell out of him. Like, it was just very chaotic and hectic, and I think that that's one thing that has been missing in wrestling is that unpredictability. That's why we fell so hard into it during the Monday Night Wars, because you never knew what was going to happen next, and that chaotic feeling, like, this is live TV and anything could happen live. So I know a lot of people didn't like it, but that was my favorite part of wrestling all week, was just that little 5-minute segment when all that shit was happening, and I'm just like, oh, that was good. That brought me back to teenage me watching wrestling.
That's the beauty of professional wrestling. Now, just to skim through, short for time here, let's really quickly go through the NXT. Just, you know, the hits and misses. You know, not even giving you my opinion of it necessarily. You know, I'm going to give you my belt grade because I've got some things I want to discuss before we get out of here today. So results of NXT, please.
Sure, just real quick. So Xia Li lost to Chelsea Green. Clearly, she's getting a push. Yeah. Karrion Kross defeated Leon Ruff, which, you know, Black Jobber of the Week match. That's a hot act, by the way.
That is a hot act. I know. So you be noticing that stuff. I be noticing that stuff because we be noticing that stuff. Go ahead. It's food, but that's all. It's for us, by us.
Touche. Io Shirai defeated NXT Women's Champion, the greatest female wrestler.
The greatest female wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair. You're gonna learn to say it right, okay? Because went through a whole SmackDown and didn't say the second best thing in the week on SmackDown was Sasha Banks this past week. Also, just saying. But the greatest women's wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair.
High disqualification, so that feud is obviously going to continue. Kushida defeated Jake Atlas in the Cruiserweight tournament. Cameron Grimes defeated Denzel. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your shitty last name.
I like Grimes, though. I'm a big fan of Grimes.
Oh, this isn't even NXT that just happened. This is... Okay. Yeah. So some things happened on NXT.
Yeah. Okay, there it is. So what was important about NXT, though, and SmackDown was that Charlotte Flair... The greatest women's wrestler of all time was on SmackDown, and it was awesome. But my week in wrestling, again, we grade all of them together, put them all together. I'm going to give, this is done, going to be the best grade that the week in wrestling has gotten, okay? Raw was big news, okay? SmackDown hit hard. NXT, Charlotte Flair's there, it hit hard. And AEW just continue to push the envelope and be different and separate themselves in individuality. For me, I'm going to give the week in wrestling a 4 out of 5. NWA TV Championships, Arn Anderson.
Yeah, I feel really like an idiot now because I was reading the wrong NXT results. But whatever, May 6th was a good week for NXT, goddammit, so we wanted to relive it. Personally, I will give the week in wrestling, I'm going to go Arn Anderson TV titles, but I'm going to go three. Okay. I didn't like it quite as much as you. I thought Raw was really good. I enjoyed AEW, the moments that they had on AEW. And frankly, I'm looking forward to this weekend as well because we've got some big things going on.
So before we go through with the AEW Double or Nothing contest, there was some news that hit this week between two guys. And like you said, and I say it all the time, I say it and I mean to be just and to be funny. And this ain't that kind of show for that. But like you said, there is no such thing as black on black crime. But there is some news because we know that Lio Rush is no longer with the WWE. He was let go. He had a lot of things to say about Hall of Famer Mark Henry. I respect Mark Henry. I have nothing negative to say against Mark Henry. I had a personal disappointment in Mark Henry. And I say that because, you know, he co-hosts a show with friend of the program, Dave LaGreca, on Busted Open Radio. And I used to call in all the time and I told him, hey, the Bell Kings are going to come through, you know, to the people they were having their anniversary, their WrestleMania party. Was going to come through. Hey, I see you. Get you guys up front. You know, all that cool shenanigans. Long story short, was in Access looking like an idiot. Okay? Looked at me, turned his head. When I'm telling you, when we're in Access in New Orleans, and I tell you, and I mean this with all due respect towards every superstar there who's an actual superstar, we are nothing but fans. But when I tell you that we had to get escorted out of the building because of how much fanfare we had where we went with all those belts as Bell Kings, that's all I'm saying. There was no way he didn't notice us. Okay? So, I have my issue with that. I had another friend in the Bell Kings. I had another personal issue with Mark Henry. So, there are some other things out there about Mark Henry with wrestling fans of the same ilk. So, from that, I wanted to paint the picture because that's just a true story about what's going on. So, from there, we're going to let Chris here tell you exactly what's going on in this story, Chris.
So, that's funny. That actually, in a way, because I didn't know that story and we didn't talk about this pre-recording, that actually gives a little more credence to where Lio Rush is coming from in this story. So this has been going on for a long time. This isn't anything new. If you guys recall, Lio Rush did that interview. Was it with Van Bleek that he did that interview? Chris Van Bleek?
I believe it doesn't matter.
I think it doesn't matter.
I don't think it was Van Bleek, but I can't remember though. But I won't, you know, so.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So Lio Rush did a tell-all interview where he talked about some of his frustrations backstage. He talked about not making enough money to be able to maintain and support his family. He talked about some of the hazing that went behind the scenes that he felt uncomfortable with. And as a result of that, Mark Henry went on his show, the Busted Open Radio show, and basically he critiqued Lio Rush and said that I tried to come to him as an OG and I came to him and asked him, was there a problem? And he said there was no problem. He critiqued how he spent his money habits and talked about how that's just part of the business. Part of the business is paying your dues. So last week, this whole conversation resurfaced. Right. There was a lot of back and forth between both of them on Twitter. That's where everybody fights now. One thing that I didn't appreciate that Mark Henry did was threaten legal action against Lio Rush. I felt that was kind of petty because, number one, it was very elitist. To, you know, because you know the man doesn't have a job right now, and right. He talked about his financial difficulties, so it even played Big Bank Take Little Bank. I thought that was kind of petty. I thought it was petty when Seth did it with Will Ospreay, and it's only fair that I think that it's petty here. Personally, Mike, I wish that this type of scenario and situation could have got handled behind the scenes. Absolutely. Because you know all the ancillary factors that are going to come into it, and people that have no idea what they're talking about, now they get an opportunity to voice their opinion on this, and nobody wins with the family feuds, and we can have disagreements amongst each other, but let's hash that out behind the scenes. We don't have to put all of our grievances with each other on Front Street. You know, one thing that separates us between other nationalities is that we put all our shortcomings to a dance beat. That we have no secrets. You know what I mean? We have no secrets whatsoever.
And that's where the blind tag comes in, because I agree with you on that one. It's just like so much and so many times this could have been handled differently. We don't have to, and I don't know who started it, to be frankly honest. More than likely, it was probably Lio, because that's just the younger generation. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, check that stat or not. I'm not exactly sure. But if you can tweet to me, then you can inbox me. When you're of a certain status, higher than what people are, you can get contact information. You could have called into Bus Open Radio and said, can I speak to Mark Henry off air? This is Lio Rush. Whatever the case may be, here's my personal number. Can you have him text me anything? I'm quite sure you could have gotten in contact with Mark Henry and vice versa. the problem that I have with this is that as an older guy, as a traditionalist, I do think that the younger generation don't give enough credence to what older people are saying. However, we as older generation guys, okay, we have to understand that we are living in it. This is no disrespect, because I have, these are my children also, okay? And I have grown men who are friends who are this way. But the user scenario that I like to use is from Remember the Titans. Some people are just Petey's, meaning Petey, the football player, the running back, was a great running back. I was All-State 2 years. I can't take this man yelling at me like this. Again, to move forward to the last dance. Some people can take how Michael Jordan motivated. Some people like how maybe LeBron would motivate. You know what I mean? It's a difference. Okay? So it's all well and perceived how it's taken. I just wish this, like you said, could have been handled behind closed doors. This doesn't need to be put on Front Street. And it could have been definitely handled without necessity of the word being legal action being put in there. I thought, personally, that was a very, very, very weak move by Mark Kearney to do that and to say that. But hey, we're just guys talking about a situation, Chris.
And I'm kind of in the middle of both of those generations. I'm too young to be a youngster, but I'm not quite hit. I haven't quite hit OG status yet. So I can understand where both sides are coming from. Right. It reminds me of that scene in Any Given Sunday when Al Pacino's character has Jamie Foxx, Willie Beeman come over to the house and they're chopping it up.
Yeah.
Neither one was wrong necessarily in what they were saying. But the issue was they were having two totally different conversations.
Yeah.
And they weren't hearing each other. And I just hate this, and I hate how it's going to be frank. Like, could Leo Rush be a pain in the ass backstage? Oh, most definitely. He definitely could. But there's got to be, we've seen this script before. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've heard the same things about Awesome Kong. We've heard the same things about Ahmed Johnson. Hell, we heard the same things about Mark Henry back in the day, mm-hmm. that they were difficult and whatnot. Now, again, can black people be pains in the asses? Let me tell you, yes, you're anybody talking to can. One. You're anybody listening to one right now. One.
Absolutely. Let's have a toast for the assholes. Let's have a toast for all the scumbags. Everyone that I know, including me. Just saying.
I had to drink to that. Yeah. But just real quick, man. But that being said, considering the industry that we are talking about, it is a fair question to say, are all these people pains in the asses, or is this coded language? Like, and that's where this thing gets complicated. Mm. You know what I mean?
And that's with that complication is where it's very hard to tread this line very clear, you know, carefully. Because I'm not on neither side here. I'm on the side for right. I'm on the side for them to get this and fix this. Like, there's ways, like you said, about things we've heard backstage about things. Again, I just want the younger audience out there that's watching and listening to this to know that every time we may come off as older heads, because I can't speak from being an OG's perspective, aggressively. We don't mean no disrespect necessarily, but sometimes by us not knowing that we're disrespecting you, by us talking to you a certain way, we just need you to hear. And if you just even act like you hear us, we can learn how to switch our tone. But again, it does work both ways there, Chris. Let's get into AEW, if you will. Double or Nothing. Can you please bring up the right thing this time? Are you sure? Because when you were reading it, I wasn't sure. Lincoln, guys, listen, you can check this podcast out wherever podcasts are sold, on Apple, on Google, on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. So you can do it all. You can listen to this and watch us live on YouTube and Facebook Live as well. Just search Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Platt Show. All right. Well, all the other shows are at. You got, you know, you're naming, we got them. I can't even get them out right now. Go ahead, Chris. What are we up with next, man? Time for short.
All right. So for the AEW Double or Nothing pay-per-view this Saturday, we're going to run through the card quickly here. So we've got Private Party, who I love, versus The Best Friends.
Private Party will win. Not.
They should.
They should. Yeah. I want them to win, but I think The Best Friends get this one.
Okay. Up next, we've got Dr. Britt Baker versus the alien Chris Statlander.
Baker's not losing this.
No, she's not. She's not. She's not. Moving up, we've got for the AEW Women's Championship, we've got Nyla Rose, quite frankly, the only black that's holding us down like an anvil on a seesaw right now. So shout out to her versus Hikaru Shida for the AEW Women's Championship. Again, I don't think Nyla Rose loses here. It's too early.
I don't speak on her being champion. So,
all right, cool. So moving along, we've got MJF, one of the hottest heels in the business, versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry. I think Jungle Boy puts up a good fight here, but ultimately MJF wins, maybe even with some shenanigans with Wardlow.
MJF has to win this match. He's been out of action, kind of taking a page back from the Randy Orton injury update they've been doing with him. It's doing some little segments. I'm loving it. He's finally going to get back in the ring. He can't lose this match. He will not lose this match, Chris.
I agree. Moving right along, we're going to have a casino ladder match, in which the winner gets a future AEW world title shot.
So we're just going to call this Money in the Bank, but we're not. See, as I said, that they're doing their own thing individuality-wise, this kind of simulates, and people say, well, what the hell are you talking about? Hey, so what? Everybody's had ladder matches. WWE wasn't the first company to have them, just so you know.
They were, and it's a good gimmick.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, you're in Vegas.
So we've got Darby Allin. Well, actually, they're
but
in
not
Jacksonville.
In Vegas. You're right, they're in Jacksonville, but they're supposed to have been in Vegas. Sorry, I stand corrected.
So we got Darby Allin versus Colt Cabana versus, as Jim Cornette calls him, my little dog Pockets, Orange Cassidy, versus Rey Fénix versus Scorpio Sky versus Kip Sabian, and then three other names that are to be determined or to be announced that haven't been announced yet. Maybe they'll come out Wednesday. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Scorpio Sky wins this. They've been giving him those vignettes during the quarantine, trying to get his personality over a little bit. He did have that one title shot versus Chris Jericho on a past issue or edition of whatever to call. So I think he's going to win this year.
I'm going to go Scorpio. I'm taking Orange Cassidy so far. TBA, because we don't know who else is in the match. Go ahead.
Yeah. Maybe the Revolt. Formerly the Revival, make their debut in that match. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing stuff out there. Who knows? We'll see.
I wait to TBA. TBA. Go ahead.
Good Gulak might be, you know, whatever. So moving right along.
There you go.
The match I'm most excited for is the Stadium Stampede, which is going to take place inside the Jacksonville Jaguars football stadium, which pits the Elite versus the Inner Circle. This is tough.
No, this is going to be cinematic. This is going to be their version of the WWE Cinematic Universe. It will be. Maybe not as corny, but it will be. I predict it will be. And there is no way. Zoom in on my face if you can. Absolutely no way the Inner Circle, the circle that's inner, loses this damn match, Chris. That's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I love
the Elite.
I love the Elite, by the way. It's just... The Elite are the Elite without having to be the Elite in wrestling, if that makes any sense. Okay? Nobody knew about the Click until they spoke about the Click and then made that known. That's just who they were backstage. Everybody knew it. So they don't have to be the Elite to be, because they got to break up to be completely honest. The Elite has to break up in some way, at least in my opinion. It has to. So that's just me putting my wrestling two cents out there, Chris.
Well, maybe that's what happens here is that because they've been sowing those seeds for a while. Obviously, Hangman and Kenny, that's going to come to a head at some particular point in time. Honestly, I was leaning towards the Inner Circle, but you know what? My cry, bump it, two tears in a bucket. I will be a contrarian just for the sake of being contrary and say that the Elite pull this one out somehow, some way, and send the home fans home happy.
All right. What fans? Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Touche. Moving right up the card, so for the inaugural AEW TNT Championship, which I think is a great idea because you can headline some shows with that without having to see the world champion, the world title every single show. Mm-hmm. Lance Archer versus Cody. I don't think there's any way in bloody hell that Lance Archer does not win this belt right here.
I say, because everybody says I have a crappy English accent. I'm going to go live on air to see if it's really that crappy and go back and listen to it for myself. So since I'm saying it all loud and I don't hear it, okay? Bloody hell, there's no way that Cody Rhodes, bloody hell, loses this match at all. That was really bad. That was really bad, and I apologize.
You made me feel better about mine because I thought mine was crappy, but you, sir. I really appreciate that.
That was really horse shit. But I'm taking Cody because I'm a Cody Mark, and I just want Cody to win. But you're right. Friend of the program. I've interviewed him before. Sorry, cheap pop. But it's not. Lance Archer does not win this match, although Lance Archer maybe should win this match. I'm going with Cody because I'm a Cody Mark before all you people became Cody Marks. Next.
It's about time you put me over, man. Like, I'm still picking the dirt and the shovel out my back from this episode. Okay, so, you know, there's that.
Shovel picking. Keep going.
Last but certainly not least, for the AEW Championship, we have Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper. Excuse me. I mean, John Moxley versus Brody Lee. I kid. I say that in jest.
You mean Vince McMahon versus John Moxley? Because he did come out and kind of say that his gimmick was Vince McMahon.
VK My himself. Bad. Mr. Brody Lee.
Mr. Brody Lee. Listen, this is a throwback between the Wyatt family and the Shield. Okay? And just like then, the Shield shall not lose this match. You're not putting this title on Mr. Brody Lee before you give this title back to Johnny Moxley. Hashtag, I'm a Moxley guy. I always have been. I always will be. But I'm excited for Double or Nothing 2 this Saturday night. And I think it is something worthy to buy. And I will be watching it. I'll tell you that much, Chris.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to be watching it, but through nefarious means. See, Meg, this is something that we haven't discussed.
Was that the word you used?
Nefarious means, yes. Yeah, okay. This is my form of reparations. Okay. I mean, the only reason that I pay for WWE pay-per-views is because I got the network for $9.99. Right. Exactly. If there was no network,
right.
Yeah, I'm not paying for anything. This is my form of reparations, man. I don't pay for boxing matches. I don't pay for wrestling cards. No, we'll find them through nefarious means. It's grabbing a bunch of extra napkins at the restaurant.
I know people are that way. I personally am a consumer. So if I like something enough, I pay for Floyd. I pay for John Jones. I pay for George St. Spartacus Pierre, who's going to the UFC Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? I pay for things that I think is worthy me paying. I would pay for Deontay Wilder. I know he lost his last fight, but I'm a Wilder fan. I've interviewed him several times. Okay? I'm part of the Bomb Squad. I would pay for it. So that's just me. I think it's something worthy paying for. But again, you know your pockets. We're in a pandemic. Maybe, you know, everything's not for everybody. And I look at other ways to see certain things. I want to see Sonic the Hedgehog movie that comes out tomorrow. I don't think I'm going to, you know, however, I'll watch it some other kind of way. But before we do get out of here, speaking about the network, the last ride, I got to say it every week because my daughter is so much my child after me. It's ridiculous sometimes. And we're watching The Last Dance and we're watching Money in the Bank and they showed The Last Ride. She's like, what do you mean, The Last Ride? That's copying off The Last Dance. I'm like, nah, baby, it just happened to be a coincidence that, you know, that's Undertaker's move, The Last Ride. That's his last time, Last Dance. It just, you know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't care. It's just two separate things. But watching part two last night was so hard to watch as a wrestling fan. And I want to say this, and I want to say this so clear. For every wrestling fan that set out there and just repeatedly says the stupid chants that I hate more than anything in the world, one more match, one more match. It's shit like that that has this man having one more match. And again, I go back to the first episode where Ed said, someone like this, what he's earned, what he deserves to go out on his own merits when he chooses to. But therein lies the problem. We've seen it with Flair. We just see it so much with wrestling. One of the best things about my Chicago Bulls documentary going off after 10 episodes was that we don't see stars go out on top. It's so rare. And the Bulls, you didn't see them come back. And it would have kind of been sad if they came back for a seventh title and lost. It would have been something to say about that. It's something said about going out on top. So I hope that Taker gets healthy. I think that he can have a longer career than what it has been with the WWE Cinematic Universe. I predicted that's the way all his matches should go from now on. And everybody seemed to have loved, at least the majority of the Boneyard match there, Chris. But this documentary is really good, but this one focused, episode two, focused on a lot of the pain and the injury and the shame that he feels. That watching this and seeing Michelle McCool say to him, like, I'm quite sure Roman doesn't feel that way. I'm quite sure the fans don't feel that way. And you can see the tear in mean Mark Calloway's eyes, The Undertaker, and in disappointment that, you know, the things that Mick Foley did, the things that Jeff Hardy do, the things that Shawn Michaels done, the things that made, you know, Dark Side of the Ring is coming up, and I'm kind of scared to watch this episode of On Heart, but the things that these guys do for us, the fans, to entertain us, it's why I say we can't say someone sucks versus one company versus another, or and those guys are being buried, because these guys put their lives on the line to get a pop out of us, the fans. And this Last Ride documentary, no, it's not on par, at least in my opinion, because I'm more of a Michael Jordan fan than I am of a wrestling fan. And that's crazy to even say that I'm saying it out loud. But for some, they're more wrestling fans than anything. So maybe for what The Last Dance has done for me as the GOAT of documentaries, maybe this will be the GOAT of documentaries for wrestling fans, because it's very, very good. It's sad. It's entertaining. It's This Last Ride is really, really good, Chris.
You know, Mike, I heard Jalen Rose say something, and it's been, you know, many years ago, but it stuck with me. It really resonated with me. He talked about the end of his NBA playing career, and he talked about how 9 times out of 10, you don't get to walk away on your terms.
Right.
They tell you when you're done, because the phone stops ringing. Mm-hmm. So they tell you when you're done. So that being said, I can understand these athletes wanting to walk out on their own terms and play or compete as long as they can. But the flip side of that is, do they know when to walk away? And it's hard to walk away from that adulation. It's hard to walk away from that spotlight. It's hard to walk away from something that you have literally dedicated your entire life to. But Mike, you've been to manias. I've been to manias. We've interacted with wrestlers, past, present, and future. And you see the toll that it takes on these guys' bodies, man. You see how they're moving around and how they're limping and they're moving slow and this arm don't work as well. And you see the physical taxing and toll that it takes on these guys. And it, I don't know, man, it really brings another perspective to the business for it, which is why I'm not so quick to shit on these guys, because I understand they literally are sacrificing their bodies, like you eloquently put, for our pop, for a pop from us. And I respect that.
How can the toll that they put on their bodies is right. And this episode, like I said, and I hate to cut you off there, was just, it shows all of that, Chris. It shows him going through. So my wife, okay, to put my business out there, and I've always had, that's why my name is Mike Knox, I'm hardcore. I don't care what you guys think of me. I'm just raw and uncut. That's just what you see is what you get. So I've been in a doctor's office with my wife, where she's reading off her medical issues that she's had, from cancer to heart attacks at 21 years old to our lost children. And I had never heard a list like that until watching The Last Ride. And Undertaker's like, pick a finger, which one was broken? This hip, that knee, that wrist, that shoulder, that neck. And it was amazing, like, just to hear, like, stop, please, Taker. I love you. I don't need you to get back in a ring. And I'm not even an Undertaker fan, if that makes any sense. I'm a wrestling fan. I respect Taker. He is who he is. Come on, Taker. For your wife, for your family. Fans, please. I urge fans to just stop saying one more match when it comes to this guy and enjoy it. If he does the Cinematic Universe, I think he can go that way. But he don't have to prove nothing to me. Taker, you don't have to prove nothing to me. I've seen WrestleMania 27. I've seen, you know, heaven versus hell. I've seen you as the American Badass versus John Cena at Vengeance. I don't need to see you be great, because you've been great your entire career. That's all I'm going to say about The Last Ride on that one, Chris. Any final thoughts when we get about here today, brother?
That makes me cringe for this new generation of wrestlers, the men and also the women now, because we see all these guys that we grew up watching back when a body slam was a finisher.
Right.
And we see how they're moving and how they're walking and how they're not, they're getting around or not getting around. And just juxtapose that with all the crazy things that these men and women feel that they have to do to their bodies just to get a pop from us. 20, 30 years from now, that's going to be interesting. And I cringe. I perish the thought to think of how they're going to be physically in 20 or 30 years, just considering everything that they do now.
Well, the one thing I do know is wrestling ain't going nowhere. It is forever. No matter what company has it, wrestling fans will always love wrestling and be fanatical about it. You know, fan is short for fanatic, and we're all pretty crazy for the things that we love, and we love this thing called professional wrestling. With that being said, guys, make sure you go over to thechairshot.com, hashtag use your head, to listen to this show and other shows and merchandise. As a matter of fact, they got some shirts out there that you like a lot, don't they, Chris?
They certainly do. If you appreciate the content that we provide you over the Chair Shot, Jay, day in and day out, show us some love and make sure we can continue to provide that content by going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. We've got something for everybody. We got Jesus Did the Job. We have Safe Tag Team Wrestling. Baron Corbin sucks. If you want to rally back against the Meltzers and the Kellers and everybody else out there, we've got the hashtag journalism shirt for you, because nothing says rebellion like a good old-fashioned dose of capitalism. By going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Please and thank you. Thank you. Please.
I love it, boy. That's just what I'm thinking about. Go purchase actually today, as a matter of fact, because I can't stand those guys. But listen, guys, make sure, like always, you go to 1340 AM Fox Sports. Or this show is sponsored by Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM Fox Sports and 1340 96.9 FM, if you will, so to speak. Hopewell, Virginia. Also available on every single podcast network. You name it, we're there. If we're not there, comment below. Let me know. We'll get there. Listen, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me, and don't love God. We out of here, y'all.